thankful to God once again for another opportunity to be at another camp meeting. Praise God, we don't take the camp meeting for granted. We appreciate the congregation here and all the saints that gather here from a camp meeting to camp meeting. All the minister brethren, Pastor Decker, we give great honor and respect to them all, and we thank the Lord for all you saints. You know, I'm thinking today, this time of year is not a good time of year to start a diet. I wouldn't think it would be. Got an amen on that already. Especially if you decided to stop eating sweets, it's a rough time. If you love sweets, this is a rough time, amen. Like everywhere you turn, the temptation is there. But tonight, I want to thank the Lord. I want to talk about eating the Word of God. Amen. That's good for our soul. Eat the Word of God. We hear it. We hear it a lot. And we know it by heart. But amen, we got to eat it. Absorb it. Amen. In our life and in our spirit. Amen. When we keep the Word of God, the words of God keeps our walk with Him and keeps us from slipping. You gotta eat the Word of God. In Psalms 37, I guess this being the first night, we're getting all the problems out of the way. Psalms 37 and verse 30 and 31 says, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Amen. When you eat the Word of God, it's in your heart. Not just what your mouth speak. Jesus told him one time, he said, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The Word of God satisfies the soul. There's nothing in this world can satisfy the soul like the Word of God can. Jeremiah, the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, and the 16th verse, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." That means that he obeyed them. Amen. They became a part of him. In every aspect of his life, the Word of God is always on his mind. The Word of God is in his plans. The Word of God, "I did eat them," he said. And that the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The word is our key weapon. The word of God is our key weapon in facing temptations and facing trials. The word of God is. You know when Jesus had his encounter with the devil in Matthew, the 4th chapter? The devil told him, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't try to put a some kind of psychology on him. He put the word on him. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Don't play around with the devil. You better put the word on him. Ephesians 6 chapter tells us that the word of God, the sword of the spirit, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. Amen. We're in a spirit-filled world. Amen. And we make it through. We got to fight with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Not your idea, not your opinion. The word of God will make us ready for the challenges of life. For the challenges of tomorrow, the word of God will fortify us and make us ready when we got the word of God in our life and in our soul, in our mind and in our heart. God will not fail us. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As a man of God, I need the word of God. Amen. There's no doubt about it. God didn't start this church, amen, he started the church of God. Jesus say, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's built on the word of God. A sure foundation. Amen. Many times men of God will be offensive to people because they preach the word of God. The word of God is disagreeable to the flesh and to the natural man, to his senses. Many times the word of God causes anger and resentment in people and a displeasure. Amen. But I feel like Jeremiah tonight. The word of God, thy words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I love to be where the word of God is. Amen. Amen. I love the word of God. It's not too far to go be where the word of God is being preached and taught. In 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, we can see that the word of God became offensive. And now let's just break here, the sixth verse, 1 Kings 22 and 6. And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand, into the hand of the king. Then Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel answered, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, yet there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. That was a man of God. He said, we're there. We got one more man we can ask about this thing. All the other prophets said, go up, go up. But we got one more. But I hate him. Why? For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. See, people want to hear, that's the humanism in man's heart. Amen. They want to hear the easy way. They want to hear something comfortable. They want to laugh and they want to, amen, they want to maybe feel like that going through life is a flowery bed of ease. But Jesus said, Jesus prepared us. He said, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Be ready, amen. Problems gonna arise. Situations gonna come in your life. But be strong and stand on the word of God. I won't fail you. So men of God are being hated because of the word of God, because they tell the truth and stand for the truth. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, he brought up a very interesting thought here. As he talked about how they presented the gospel to the people and how faithful they were and concerned about the people. And in verse 4, he said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Amen, saints. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, we hold the word of God. We cannot be men pleasers. Why would you want us to bring things in the church and preach things that the Bible don't support? Why would you want us to go along with things in the world that the Bible and even history itself don't support? And put it on you. Man can put a yoke on you. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man pleases. Don't preach that. Don't say that. Amen. You're going to run them off. You're going to make them angry at you. But Paul told Timothy, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Preach the word, practice the word of God. To practice something is to do or perform customarily or habitually. You practice word of God. Bible teaches us to pray. The Bible teaches us to study. The Bible teaches us to attend church services and be with our other brothers and sisters. Amen. We got to practice that. When we practice that, we are obeying the word of God. That's what's going to bring the blessing to your soul. It's my practice. It's my custom. It's what I do habitually. Amen. It's no question, amen, where I'm at on Sunday morning. Amen, where are you at on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? I'm in the house of God. That's my custom. I do that by habit. I prepare for that. Sunday night or Saturday night, I get ready for that. Word of God, people, is what's going to take us through. The word of God. Amen. We don't want to put nothing on you, a man's idea, a man's opinion. Amen. But you got to have an appetite. Like I said earlier, this time of year, it's kind of hard to curb your appetite for food, you know. And for them sweet potato pie. Amen. But don't let nothing, don't lose your appetite for the word of God. An appetite is a desire for food or drink. Most time when we get sick, you get the flu or you get any kind of sickness in your body, amen? Sometime the first thing they ask you, do you have an appetite? How is your appetite? Do you have a desire for food? Do you have a desire to eat? Because eating will give you strength. The word of God gives us strength. Thank God for men of God that preach the word of God. I just love to hang out with the saints of God, amen, in the old campground and hear the word of God. You gotta calm yourself down sometimes. Leave the campground and feel like you can turn the world upside down. You get inspired. Don't lose your appetite. You are losing your appetite. When you're putting something else, amen, before church time, before prayer time, before reading time, amen, before visiting the sick, and before obeying God's word, you're losing your appetite. You're losing your appetite. Amen. In 2 Peter, 1 Peter mean the second chapter, verse 1, he said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. I don't think I'm too big. No man is bigger than the word of God. I don't care how long I've been saved, amen, or what I've been through, I'm not bigger. I still need the word of God. I still need to sit here, amen, as a newborn babe. I desire the sincere milk. Oh, well, Pastor Stigmeyer, he ain't teaching on nothing this week. He's not getting into Daniel. He's not getting into Revelation. He's getting into home. He's getting into basics. Oh, I know all of that already. I don't think I need that. We need every bit of the word of God as much as we can, as often as we can. Chew on it. You know, that you remind me, I'm not a country boy, but I learned a few country things being around some of you all, you know. And they tell me, they say, when you're going down to, you look over in the pasture and you see a cow moving his mouth, he ain't talking, he moving his mouth, they say he's chewing the cud. They say chewing the cud. They say he had his breakfast, but he took some of it back there till later on, and then he brought it up. Now he's chewing the cud. I hope you ain't got a weak stomach tonight. But amen. I just want to sit under the word of God and chew the cud. Amen. He may be going through something I already know. Amen. But it's something in there that God said, look at that. I never saw that before. Look at that. Praise God. So feeding on God's word keeps us strong. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. Bible says in James, the 4th chapter, he said In verse 6, he said, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Repent of your sins. If you're here tonight, God would have you to repent of your sins. To change your purpose in life. Change your direction. I pray God strike you with conviction tonight that you will feel sorry and miserable for your sinful life in which you live in. Repent. Amen. If you repent, God will give you this experience, is what Jesus called it. Amen. In St. John, the 3rd chapter, he said, marvel not that I said unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. When you obey the word of God, when you do what God said, you get an experience that I can't express. It's a born again experience. Amen. Born again don't mean that if you look at a pretty sunset and you get moved by it. Born again don't mean that I got a strong impression to do good and be a good boy or be a good girl. That's not being born again. But being born again is a miraculous thing that happens to us human beings, that through God and through his word, amen, through the misery of a life of sin, God deal with you and you repent. It changes your life completely. Born again is not joining church. Born again is obeying the word of God and getting a miraculous experience. It's not being baptized. It's not joining church. It's not being conformed. Amen. It's a miraculous experience that God saves you from your sin, gives you a mind and a desire to change your life and be a different man, be a different woman. This is the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into the world. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sin, but from their sins. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Thank God for Jesus. He came to die for our sin. He's no longer a babe in the manger. Amen. He's alive and well. And he visit us, come into our life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Saves us from our sins. Thank God for that. Oh, the people are being deceived today. John told them in that same chapter, verse 7, and 8, he said in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is the word of God is saying this. And I thank God that Christ destroyed the devil in my life. Where would I be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming into my life? He destroyed the works of the devil. And the beautiful part about that, thank God, the Bible says in the 103rd Psalm in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. The east from the west cannot be measured. All my sins have been forgiven and separated from me. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. We're forgiven. We're free. Listen to the songs that we sing. We are forgiven. We are free. Amen. There's no record kept of my sins. No record kept. They're under the blood, amen, of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Do you have joy tonight? Amen. Do you have joy in your life tonight? When the angels announced the Lord's birth, they said, joy to the world and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Do you have that joy? Somebody said, well, what is joy? Amen. A lot of times I thank God I got joy. The holiday season come around, I got joy before it started. I got joy in the middle of it. And I'm going to have joy after it's over. But you may see a lot of people walking around. They got joy when it started. They got joy in the middle of it. But afterward, what happened to your joy, brother?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. What happened to your joy, sister? Amen. Them credit I had when I had a bail up here. Amen. Them credit card companies just been waiting on them, getting in line. Amen. Jingle bell. Some of them don't even believe in Jesus. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. And when it's all over, you're going to hear your phone ringing. Bling. We want our money. Bling. We want our money. Bling. We want our money. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? Getting some ameners out there on that one. They're not going to let up. They know they know what I'm talking about. But joy is a very glad feeling. I got it tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm at Newark, Ohio, at the old campground with the saints. I got joy. Amen. Joy is maybe happiness, great pleasure, delight, and anything causing such feeling. Amen. Oh, here's a good one. I know this is the truth. The book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. Buckle your seat, hold your husband's hand. Hold your wife's hand, hold your seat. Nehemiah 8 and 10 said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's deep, think about that. Amen. Whatever going on in my life, whatever happening, amen, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever going on, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. All of the years, all of the dedication, all what I've given up for Christ, all that I've done down through the years, amen, and raising my family and taking people, treating me bad and disrespecting me and denying myself, all of that I've done for Christ, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why would I want to go back on God and just throw it all away? Throw your reputation away. Throw your testimony away. You better recognize the joy. That's what keeps us. Tell your wife, honey, that's what keeps me faithful to you. Tell your husband, that's what keeps me faithful to you. That's what helps me love you. That's what helps me get up in the morning and go to work in the snow and in the rain. I'm obeying the Lord, and the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank God. It's joy in this. It's joy in this life. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't express it. If I could leap in high, amen, if I could hit my head on the ceiling, I wouldn't be able to express the joy of the Lord. Amen. The 119th Psalm, the Bible says in verse number 9, he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How can a young man or a young woman cleanse their way? Straighten out your life. Get saved. Repent. Be born again. By taking heed to the word of God. Amen. I pray the fear of God will come in your heart. Amen. Jesus told him in St. Luke, the 12th chapter, in the 4th verse, he said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him, fear God, young person. Fear God, saints of God. Keep the fear of God in our hearts. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're praying for the unsaved. We're praying for people. Amen. Proverbs 16 and 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, let's keep praying for the wicked. Pray for those that are evil. Pray for our loved ones. Keep praying for them. Amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Amen. We pray that God will strike the fear of God in their heart and they will depart from evil. Evil going to take you to hell. Evil going to destroy your life. Evil going to destroy your family. We got to take this serious. The word of God is serious. Psalms 111 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. We gotta obey. You gotta eat the word. We hear it. Amen. And the flesh gets weary at times. Amen. But we got to eat the word of God. We got to keep eating. Don't lose your appetite for the word of God, my brother. Don't let money run you away from God. Don't let prestige run you away from God. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I just thought about getting a calendar, you know. And just look at the calendar, and when you invite people to church, it looks like they got all the holidays that's on the calendar, they got it covered. Amen. You invite them to somewhere, come to the prayer meeting, it's around 4th of July. Oh, I can't make it, I got a barbecue. Invite them in and just take off the wall in invitation. Oh, I can't go. This is my birthday. This is a birthday. I got to go to my son's birthday party. Oh, I got a graduation to go to. Oh, I got death in the family. People, amen, don't never find time for God. They never find time for church. But I tell you something, there's an appointment that you're going to make and you're not going to miss it. You got an appointment with death. Oh yeah, you may cancel your dentist appointment. You may cancel your doctor's appointment, but you got an appointment with death. You're not gonna cancel that one. I think about this little poem here. It says here, it's an old poem. I think it was in the Gospel Trumpeter years ago. It said, I knelt to pray. The name of it is No Time. Well, it may just be a track, I'm not sure. But it said, I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. And so I said a hurried prayer, jumped up from off my knees. My Christian duty now was done. My soul could be at ease. All through the day, I had no time to speak a word of cheer. No time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to those in need. At last was time to die. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. Within his hands he held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Thank God. The book of James sums it all up. In one sense, he said in James, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Let's go. I got my life all planned out, you know. I'm in high school, I'm going to college, and I got a good idea on what job I'm going to get. I got it all planned. I got the girl I want to marry. I got the boy that's going to marry me. I got it all planned. I got my neighborhood, my house picked out, where I want to live. I even know what kind of car and truck I want to get me. I got it all planned. The Lord said, you say this, you're going to a certain city. We're going to continue there a year. We're going to buy and we're going to sell. We're going to get gain. We smart. We're intelligent. We know that we understand the smartphone and we understand the computer. Amen. And we even got a brand new smartphone that just came out of the market. But the Lord says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Yesterday is gone. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanish away. What is your life? You're not too young to die. Us seniors, you're not going to live forever. What is your life? It's just a vapor that appear for a little time, in time, then you gone. Your seat gonna be empty someday. For that ye ought to say, This is what good sense would say. You ought to say this. If you got good sense and you know that there's a God in heaven and he's in control and his word is going to stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. It was here when before I was born, and it's going to be here when I'm gone. People jumping into this world, jumping into the beggarly things of life and leaving God out of their life. Running and chasing after material things. Well, we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. We need that word of God in my life. Eat it, eat it, eat it. Don't lose your appetite. Ah, not another revival. No. Oh, no, not another camp. Are you losing your appetite for the word of God? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, our life is in his hands. If the Lord will, amen. We never know. We never know. If the Lord will. My plan, be there. The Lord will. Amen. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I'm reading Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's think about it, saints and friends. And if you're here tonight, as we stand together, would you stand together with me tonight?